message I want to preach to you tonight from another familiar verse. We're going to look at it in a different approach this evening. I want to tell you about the hillbilly mirror. I bet you haven't heard about the hillbilly mirror. It was in Kentucky. And after living in the remote wilderness of Kentucky all of his life, this hillbilly man decided it was time to visit the big city. And one of the stores, he picks up a mirror. He never seen a mirror before. Never seen a mirror. And he looks into it. And not having seen a mirror before, he remarks at the image staring back at him. He said, "How about this? A picture of my daddy." As he looks in that mirror. A picture of my daddy. And he thought, or he bought the picture, but he remembered how much his wife, Lizzie, hated his dad. She just despised him. So he didn't take it in the house, put it out in the barn. Nailed it up in the barn. And every morning he went out and looked at that picture of his daddy before he went out and worked in the fields. Well, his wife, Lizzie, began to get suspicious of all these trips to the barn. And she'd never seen a mirror before either. So she went to the barn one day after he went to the fields and got to looking around searching. And she found that mirror and looked into that glass and began to fume. And she says, "So this is the ugly woman he'd been running around with." Only in Kentucky. Well, I cut this out. My kind of woman. You listening, Judy? Where you at? My kind of woman. So when I was married 25 years, I looked at my wife. I'll take you on a road with me. Just laugh at my jokes.
It's going to be another ugly woman, I know.
No. No. Well, I took a look at my wife one day and said, "Honey, 25 years ago, we had a cheap apartment, cheap car, slept on the sofa, watched a 10-inch black and white TV, but I got to sleep every night with a 25-year-old blonde. Now we have a nice home, a nice car, a big bed, plasma TV, screen TV. I'm sleeping with a 50-year-old woman. It seems to me that you're not holding up your part of the bargain. My wife is a very reasonable woman. She told me to go out and find a 25-year-old blonde. And she would see to it that I could sleep and have a cheap apartment, drive a cheap car, sleep on a sofa, and watch a 10-inch black and white TV. Aren't old women great?" he said. "They really know how to solve a midlife crisis." All right, so much for jokes. Look with me, if you would, in Acts chapter 3. Acts in chapter 3, verse number 1. Acts 3 and verse number 1. I like to preach out of Acts. Got to be careful in the book of Acts. Especially taking out doctrine in the book of Acts, unless it's substantiated by the Pauline epistles. Well, we got a lot of crazy churches pulling lots of doctrine out of the book of Acts and starting churches on it. Some churches, if it wasn't for the book, if you didn't have the book of Acts, they wouldn't even have a church. There would be no book in the Bible to substantiate what they believe. But so you need to be careful. Verse number 1 says, Acts 3 and verse number 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 p.m. At a specific time, they wanted to pray. I was in Israel about 8 or 9 years ago. I was in the Muslim quarter at the specific time and buying some things. I bought my wife what do you call that glassware?
Mirror.
A mirror. I bought her a mirror. She'd never seen a mirror before. And I bought her some wine goblets or something. I don't know what they were. Is that what it was? A wine goblet, a pitcher? I don't know what it was. It just looked nice. But I was shopping there, but that time came when they prayed. And they were desperate. They were desperate to sell things. I mean, they were desperate. Because there wasn't anybody coming through the markets in Old Jerusalem. But they stopped and prayed. They got down on a rug and prayed. They closed their shop. Didn't make any difference how many people were there. And I got to thinking, you know, we pray any time that we want to pray, and we do, amen, driving down the road or the grocery store or whatever, we pray. But at a certain specific time that they prayed, and I think it would be good if we had a certain specific time we prayed also, as well as any other time. And we're going to pray regardless of what happens. We're going to pray. We're going to get a hold of God that time. And nothing is going to keep us from praying. Nothing is going to keep us from talking to our Savior. And that impressed me a little bit. They didn't have a Savior to talk to, as far as I'm concerned. I don't mean to be ugly, but their prayer didn't get any higher than the rug they laid on. But they were dedicated to a dead God. But they were dedicated to it. You think about Mormons that came across this country that had a cart, that they pushed a cart across this country to get to Utah. With false doctrine. It will not save them. But they were dedicated to push all a cart with all their belongings across this country. And many of them died. Dedicated more than lots of Christians that I know. And we've got the true God. And we've got the true doctrine. If I didn't think we had the true doctrine, I'd be out of here. I'd be with them pushing carts. And so they were going to the temple at a certain time, 3 p.m., to pray. Nothing was going to stop that. And verse number 2 says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb," that means from the time he was born, he's been lame. I believe you check on chapter 4, you find out he was 40 years old at this time. "Lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple," which is called Beautiful. Daily, every day. They would pick him up. They, that's a pretty good they. Most theys aren't fit to have, to even know. Because most theys, when they speak of they, or they said this about you. Where we live down there, they got rules, you know. And I'm just about ate up with rules. I don't mind keeping rules, you know. But this guy comes up and says, they came to me and said that you tied your dog up outside. You're not allowed to tie your dog up. I said, I'm not about to tie my dog up and let somebody come along and steal him. Who's they? You tell them, I want a name and a face, you tell them come see me. Don't see you, and you come see me. What is this, third grade or something? You tell them come and see me. Well, that's not the way they do it. I said, that's the way they do it with me. That's a new rule around here. I want a name and a face. I want to talk to somebody. I'm not playing this here anonymous stuff. What kind of crazy stuff is this? They. What are they, spies? They walk around here and see if somebody got their dog tied up? I'm telling you the truth. I said, I don't deal with they's. He's or she's. I said, I deal with names and faces. If this is a neighborhood, tell that neighbor to come see me. We'll check it out. We'll talk about it. Tie my dog up. I'm not tying my dog up around here. People walking back and forth and driving cars and everything. Take a chance on to steal my poodle? Think I'm crazy? I'm telling you the truth. I'm not being ugly or mean or anything. 70-year-old man come around, he's one of the leaders in the thing, tell me they said I had my dog. Hey, who's they? It's always they. Anonymous they. Get out of here. But here's a good they. I'm going to tell you something. Anytime there's a they says this and that, I'll guarantee that they's not your friend. The anonymous people are not your friend. I'm going to get fired up here. I got to stop that right now. They carried him. They carried him every day to this pool. Think about it. Every day to this pool. Did it say pool? No, the temple, which is called beautiful, not the pool, but the gate. And now here's what he did. He's a lame man, and he went there to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He went there to beg money. That's why he was there. And he had friends, they, who took him and dropped him off every day to beg money. Did you ever, I know you have, you've been to Walmart or different places. Florida's real bad for it. But, you know, going down a ramp or on a highway somewhere, usually it is where you're getting on and getting off, and they have a sign that says, work for food. Now, like in all that traffic, you're going to negotiate a job for them with all that traffic there at the exit to give them a job for food. Their job, what you see is their job. That is their job. They're begging. They're beggars. And usually they look pretty healthy. What they need is a job. They're right about that. They work for food. If you don't work, the Bible says, you don't eat. They're right about the fact they need a job, but that's not where you get a job. You go to the unemployment office. Or you go out and knock on doors. You go up someplace, establishment, and say, look, I need a job. You go after a job. You don't do it at the highway exit. Nobody hires at the highway exit. Don't feel sorry for people at the highway exit that don't have food to eat. There's government agencies all over this country They don't have a job if they don't have somebody to give food and money to. Their job is collecting money from people that sympathize with them. I don't mean to be ugly, but that's the way it is. That's their job. And that was his job. He begged alms. He begged money from people. That's not what he needed. He needed a pair of legs. He didn't need money. He needed legs. People always ask the wrong thing. Always asking the wrong thing. For the wrong thing. Now watch. Now there he is at the gate, at the temple. Now here comes Peter and John. Who's seeing Peter and John? He sees Peter and John about to go into the temple. He asks an alms. Now Peter, now yeah, I can hear John saying, "The Lord loves you." Okay, I can hear Peter or John saying, "Now you know the Lord loves you." Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, said, "Look on us." I can hear Peter saying, "Look on us." That's what he said. "Look on us." Just anybody say to you, "Look at me. Look at me." There's a preacher I know from down south who was in this meeting with him. He'd go, "Look at me. Look at me." How'd you like? He'd snap his finger. Which said, "Look at me." Wouldn't even preach at you. After a while, I got a little aggravated. Peter said, look on us. Look at me and John. Look at us. I'll bet for a moment there he thought he's going to get some money. For a moment, he probably thought he's going to get a bundle. Because, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Well, that's what he was there for, expecting to receive something of people. That's why he was there. Now, Peter and John being Baptist, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He needed some legs. But he figured he's never going to get legs. They didn't have legs to give anybody like they do now. No such thing. So, legs were completely out of his mind. All he ever knew was being lame. From his mother's womb, he was lame. He's 40 years old now. He, I'm sure, never dawned on him ever to walk, to ever have a set of legs. They didn't give people legs. So all he ever thought of was just to go to the temple and beg money to have food and to take care of some of his needs and hope that there was somebody there that would carry him there and carry him wherever he needed to go, or maybe he just crawled, scooted along. But he didn't know about Jesus. He didn't know who Jesus was. Peter says, "I don't have any money. Such as I have, I give thee. Or give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Something he never had. Strength. And he leaped, something he'd never done. He leaped and stood. Leaped up and stood and walked. He never walked. And entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. For the first time. I bet you money did. Was at this time was completely out of his mind, or all of his thinking. Alms were out of his thinking because he was doing something he never did before: was walk and leap and stand on his feet. And all the people saw him walking. I don't know if he ever got inside the temple or not, if he ever got past the gate or not. But now he's on the inside. It's good to be on the inside, isn't it? It's good to be on the inside, not on the outside. I remember when I was on the outside of the temple. I got saved at Akron Baptist Temple, and I was on the inside. Praise God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder. I mean, how could this be? An amazement at that which that had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's. They greatly wondered. They never saw this man walk before. Never saw him stand, let alone leaping. I want to draw you to this verse number 5. Peter and John said in verse number 4, "Look on us, look on us." But verse number 5 said, "And he gave heed. You know, if people don't give heed when somebody's preaching, they wasted their time coming to church. They don't give heed to the message, regardless who's preaching. They wasted their time coming to church just to say they went to church. May as well stay home. If you're not going to give heed to the Word of God, may as well stay home. If you just come and fill a pew. You need to come and take heed to the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God. It's not the preacher that's going to change your life. It's not the preacher that's going to sustain you and help you and strengthen you. It's the Word of God that's going to do that. Amen. And so he looked on them. They look on us. And he did. He took heed. But my text is, and he gave heed unto them. Now here's my text. Expecting to receive something. If you want, when you come through the doors of the church, in a church like this, you can expect to receive something. You can expect to receive something from God. And if you expect it, you'll get it. You'll get something you need. You'll get something you need. Something you need. Something you need. From the same message. God will give it to you. I believe that. God's not going to overlook your problem. God's not going to overlook what you need. Or you need, God's going to give it to you if you come expecting to receive. Now, there's three truths that you and I can expect. Three truths, I'm going to put it this way. What you can expect, let's say, from the world, things that you can expect from this world, what the world can and should expect from you as a Christian, and what God expects from all of us. Expecting. Number one, I'll just take a little bit of time. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. In this world, what you and I can expect out of this world that we live in is hardness. Hardness. I don't mean to be a prophet of doom, but that's what this world has for you and I is hardness. That's what it has. It's a beautiful world as far as the looks of the world, the trees and the flowers, and why there's so many beautiful things in this world to see. I've had the privilege of seeing the Grand Canyon. I've had the privilege of seeing Iceland. I hope I never go back. I've had the privilege of seeing Israel. I can understand why people in the Middle East want to come here and take this country over. There's nothing pretty about the Middle East whatsoever, even in Israel, except for the sights of the Bible. And knowing what they are, nothing to look at. Really, to me, it's nothing to look at. Right. But, you know, this country, I think, is one of the most beautiful countries. Of course, I've only been, you know, in Iceland and Canada, and which is beautiful, and Israel. But as far as pictures and that go, I think probably America is probably one of the most beautiful countries in the world. But a lot of beautiful things to see, the wonders of the world and everything else. But as far as people are concerned, as far as what this world has for you and me, is nothing but hardness. Hardness. I don't know how a young couple makes it today. They have really a ghost of a chance without Jesus Christ. Without God on their side, just a ghost of a chance. Amen? We really need to have it on our heart, try to get young folk in church. Because I'm going to tell you something, without God, they have not much of a chance whatsoever. This world has nothing to offer people, our children, our loved ones, but heartaches and just these last two fairs that my wife and I have done. I've never ever seen so many Bible rejectors, people that would turn down a gospel tract like we said. Never seen it before like it is today. Never. I don't want no part of that. And it wasn't just no thank you. We got several of them, no thank you. But it was just like that. Get out. I don't want. People are hard in these days, and we've seen it. We've seen it from the from Washington D.C. with politicians, and don't want to have anything to do with it. Don't want to have anything to do with God, and how they strike out against Christianity, and you know, things like Christmas and Easter and things like that. Christianity has celebrated. I don't know if God cares whether you celebrate it or not, but the fact of it is, they're cardinal doctrines to us, the birth of Christ and the death and resurrection of Christ. They're cardinal doctrines to us. It's not the holiday. It's the cardinal doctrine of in the Word of God. And so they're striking out against those things. And so they don't care anything about it. And so, so much of that going on in these days in which we live, that at one time really called this nation a Christian nation because they believed in those things. But they're against those things in these days right now. And I believe they are against them. I don't think it's just because, they don't want to be, connected to them. I believe that even people on television like O'Reilly and some of them that'll stand behind those things, and I'm glad that they do. When it comes right down to them, they really don't know anything about them doctrinally. They don't know. They don't understand. If you ask them about it, they don't. They can't even explain it. those things doctrinally because they don't know. And so this world has nothing for you and I. And it seems like more and more are just leaving church, fundamental churches. The New Age churches are growing and growing large. And I don't understand it except for the fact that they like that freedom of believing what they want to believe and doing what they want to do and just freedom, I guess, not having to knuckle down to any doctrines of the Bible and really strongly representing the Word of God and the church. And so I'm not saying some of that crowd is not saved. I'm just saying the judgment day will be coming someday. Amen. And so you can't go by the size of a church doing what's right. That's not how you judge a church. By the size of a church.
That's right.
Not whatsoever, folks. Let me tell you that right now. But I'm going to tell you something. What we ought to expect out of this world, is nothing but heartaches and trouble. This world does not love you and I. Right. It does not love you and I. Right. And it's thinking less of you and I all the time. Now, maybe a prophet of doom, most of us will be out of here one day, not too far off maybe. My wife, 15 years old, I'll be 80 years old. My daddy lived to be 80 years old. He asked the Lord if he could live to be 80 years old. I don't know if that was that was his appointment at 80 years old, but... Man, I thought that was old, but that's not old anymore at all, is it? Gee whiz, that's 15 years. 80's not old. I'm going to ask for 90. I get 90, I'll ask for 100. 15 years isn't very long at all. She started crying. I said, quit it, I'm going to cry too. Anyways, many of us will be off the scene. We got youngins and grandkids and great grandkids, and it's got to face this world. I'm going to tell you something. We need to teach them to face it with God, because this world is hating Christianity more every day. But you know, it's a sign of the times. Things are going to wax worse. Things are not going to get better. Anybody tells you things are going to get better, I'll tell you right now, they haven't read their Bible. We're in the end times. There's no doubt about it. We're in the end time. Things are going to wax worse, the Bible says. And so, praise God, we can look up for our redemption draweth nigh. Amen. I just pray that the Lord come back and get us out of here before we have to fool with the blue helmets, you know. And that's the United Nations. And so, one fellow told me, old George Grant, he was old gorgeous George Rassler, you know. He was a preacher in his latter years. He showed me his guns one day. He said, look at this gun right here, right out my front window. He said, I'm going to use this when the blue helmets come down my drive. He said, I'm going to pick them off right here. I said, where's blue helmets? He said, that's United Nations Army when they come down. I said, Lord God, help us get out of here before that happens. Amen. We don't want to fool with that crowd. Amen. So, but thank God our redemption draweth nigh. Amen. And we can expect some things. Christians can. We certainly can. And one is, this world does not love us. Don't get too infatuated with this world. Don't get too excited about Hollywood. Don't get too excited about the new cars. Just don't get too excited about this world, folk. We'll be excited about Jesus. Amen. He could be the very next one we look at. We're going to have to give an account. Every man should give an account of himself. And what about your husband? You're going to give an account of yourself, not your husband. Don't look at your wife, your kids. You got to give an account of yourself. And so, could be our very next breath. But secondly, what the world expects out of you if you're a Christian, they expect you to live right. They have a right to expect you to live right. If you tell this world you're a Christian, you tell this world that you go to church and you love Jesus, this world has a right to expect you to dress right. They have a right to expect you to talk right. They have a right to expect you to have a good testimony. Absolutely. They have a right to expect you to be right. Somebody said, well, I don't want no part of Christianity because of the way that Christian lived. That will not hold up at the great white throne judgment. But at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll answer for that. You'll answer for how you lived, knowing that other people knew that you were a Christian. I believe that tonight. Amen. The world expects you to live right, to love right. The world expects you, they have a right to expect you to love them. They sure do. Too many times, we get so caught up in our Christianity and our little thing that we don't love the world like we ought to. You know, we strike out against everything like homosexuality and just so many different things. But we forget to love the sinner. Forget to love the sinner. And you don't know who you're dealing with out in the streets when you're passing tracks out. People come, about hundreds in the fairs coming by. You don't know who you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Some of them wear a t-shirt and give you a pretty good idea. Mm-hmm. But maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But my only right is to love them. My only right is to look at them and say they're going to heaven or hell, one or the other. And maybe I'm the one that's going to have to tell them about Jesus. If I don't tell them, maybe no one else will. And so they have a right to expect me as a child of God to tell them, to at least hand them a gospel tract. Now, it's pretty easy when you're standing there and people are coming by just, you know, we're not even supposed to go out after it. It's not like me to stand. It's no big deal just to stand here as people are going by. Could I give you this? You know, it's when we first went to the flea market with them, you know, I was going up, and as they was come by, I was backing up with them, trying to give them a track, talk to them, everything. You know, and we're not supposed to do that. You know, we're not supposed to go out even beyond our display, and that's even the fair's rules, you know. And I'm supposed to stand here and no more just go like this. Well, you stand there and in a day's time get 350, 400 tracks, which still to a great track guy, there's not a whole lot of tracks. When you think of 350 souls, going to hell. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of souls. And our job is to try to get them back here with the Bible to show them how to get saved. And so, that's an awesome responsibility. And you think about it. And you get somebody back here and then you lose them. They go home and read that track and they wonder why somebody that's been a Christian in the family or whatever that never told them How's come they never told me about this? They'd have a right to be upset. Well, what's God expect out of all of us? And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He expected it. And he got it. He got it. He expected it. God expects the world to hear his word. That's why he called preachers. God expects the world to hear his word. That's why we send missionaries all over the world. That's why you preach on the street corner, in churches. Why it's on billboards. Why it's on gospel tracks. So people will hear the word. God expects you and I to do that. God has a right to expect us to do it. God expects us to receive his Son. He expects the world to receive his Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He expects the world to receive his Son. He expects us to witness. That you shall be witnesses. So he expects us to witness. He expects us to obey him. To simply obey him. Did the Lord ever speak to your heart about giving a tract to somebody and you didn't do it? I've done that. I've done that. And I went looking for him. God got over me. I went looking for him. I'd apologize to God. I've seen my wife witness to men in leather jackets and rings all over their face. You know what it is? You know what it is? A lot of times, here comes a guy, you know, and he looks like something a cat drag in, you know, he looks mean. He's got earrings all over him. You know, he's got a leather jacket on, says something, some kind of gang or something. And he just looks mean. You know, tattoos all over him. You know, if you try to give him a track, you just punch your face in. And usually, they're as nice as anybody that there is. They'll take that track and thank you for it. Sometimes it's maybe some meat guy comes by and won't take the track. You know, but the devil tries to make you think, don't give it to this guy, boy, he's meaner than a devil. There's more fun. I have more fun. Listen to me. I have more fun giving people tracts, talking to people about the Lord, anything I do. I'm no great soul winner. Don't misunderstand. I'm no great tract man. I know great tract man. Never done it. You ought to do it. Just maybe take a day, a week, in the morning or something. Say, every day, that day, I'm going to do it. There's always heaven with you. It's fun serving the Lord. It's fun serving the Lord. That's so much fun, it's almost a shame. God expects us to do it. God has a right to expect you and I to do it. So that man there was, he wanted money, that's not what he needed. Sometimes we think we need money when it's not what we need. We think we need this or need that. A lot of times we have to back up and pray because maybe we're praying for the wrong thing. God knows what we need. We need to ask God to give us what we need, not what we want. Amen. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for all that you have given us. Sometimes you've got to give us a hard time, straighten us out. We know that. Wasn't for that, well, we wouldn't do nothing. God, thank you for using us. Thank you for these folk here that most have been here just right on, regular. Obviously, because they love God. So, Lord, I pray that you bless them. Bless the preacher. Thank you for this opportunity to preach. Bless this young boy. He's going to be preaching on Wednesdays, Lord. God, help us now that what you expect us to do, help us to do it. Because God, we know you're going to bless us for doing it. And we can expect some from you, like you said. The blessings from God. So Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Would you all stand to your feet?
174.
Number 174. God spoke to your heart. The altar's open.